All Free Now by Tony Bilbo, based on the novel Girl 20 by Kingsley Amis, with Robert Stevens and Christopher Timothy.
Wonderful! Marvellous! Or as David Frost would say, super, super! And remember, they're filming all this, so Matt, don't hold up a card saying hello, ma'am. No. Actually, not bad at all. A couple of points, though. First oboe, don't take that minim off till the next beat, okay? But in general, much better now. Excellent, in fact. And I'd like a shade more from the third and fourth clarinets, and a touch less from first flute. What are you grinning at, Max? My fly's undone or something? Be a television first, that would. Roy van der Veen reveals all.
Look out, Gov, you're on candid camera.
No. Come on. This is my big chance. Late Night Lineup is a classy programme. And Michael Dean is a classy interviewer.
Yeah, he went to BBC Two and was never seen again.
Oh, very comical. Yeah, I was forgetting. You used to be with Billy Cotton, didn't you, Max? All right. Settle down. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. Strings overall. A little more warmth, if you can. Try to sing. I know a lot of silly buggers go on about singing, but I'm afraid they're right. I'd use any other word if I could, but don't feel you've got to give it every last ounce at this stage. In these long works, you've got to pace yourself. Right? 10 minutes break, and then we'll slog through the whole thing again. Okay? My dear chap, I'm all yours. Can you use any of that?
Oh, some of it, yes. A cheerful lot, aren't they, Sir Roy?
No. Roy, please. Yes. Cheeky sods. When are we going to do the interview?
Tomorrow night, just after 11, but we'll need you in the studio about 9.
Hail from on a bloody bike. 9. Oh, well, I suppose I can manage that. And what sort of line are you going to take?
Well, I've made a few notes, and I think this will give you the flavour. We'll use a bit of what you've shot just now, you rehearsing with the orchestra, then I'll back announce it, Mahler's First Symphony.
First movement of the First Symphony, actually.
Oh, yes, sorry, First Movement. And then I'll say, Sir Roy van der Veen, the distinguished classical conductor and composer, is unusual in the world of music because he's a man who has the common touch. He's as much at home with Mick Jagger or Paul McCartney, as he is with Sir Malcolm Sargent or Michael Tippett. In other words, his kind of musical expertise bridges the cultural gap between classical and pop.
Bridges the cultural gap, yes. Nice turn of phrase. Could you stick in a bit about Elevations 9, do you think? Not so much for me, you understand. But Pigs Out could do with a bit of a plug. They're nice chaps, you know them?
Well, I thought we'd cover that in the interview. What are you working on now, sort of thing?
Oh, brilliant! Yes, that's the way to work it in. Much more natural. Fine, well, I'll leave it to you then.
Oh, Douglas, got a minute?
I expect so, Albert.
Did you see Late Night Lineup last night?
Caught some of it, yes.
Catch Roy van der Veen, did you?
I think so, yes.
Think so? I'd have thought you'd have made a point of watching. You've been his pal and everything. Got a bit hairy, didn't it? Asking him about his bits on the side.
I don't think we could have seen the same interview.
Oh, come on. All that stuff about his foreign tours?
All he asked him was, did his wife mind him being away a lot?
Exactly. The question behind the question. Couldn't actually say, what about all those birds you've been knocking off, Sir Roy? But as good as.
Albert, what's our beloved editor up to?
As clear as that, eh? No, you're right. It's a Harold Mears special. He wants me to do a hatchet job using the late night lineup piece as a peg. Trendy musician won't talk. Sir Roy van der Veen's secret life.
What secret life?
Dunno. Thought you'd tell me.
He's a friend of mine. Why has Mears got his knife into him?
Mine not to reason why. He doesn't need a reason anyway, little swine. Albert Coates?
Is that Mr. Andrews there, please? It's Lady Vanderbilt.
Yes, I think he is. Somewhere. Hang on. Douglas, you in?
Who is it?
Oh, nobody important. Lady somebody or other. Van der Vane, would it be?
Give us it, you silly sod. Kitty, how are you?
Oh, my dear. I'm really dear. Dreadful.
Oh, I am sorry.
I must see you today. Today?
Well, I'd love to, Kitty. I would, but I can't make it today.
Well, tomorrow, then.
Yes, tomorrow's fine. Yes. Anything in particular
well,
you wanted to...
Just a chat, really, my dear, but tomorrow, oh, I see. Please.
Just a chat. Please. Uh-huh. Well, I'll see you then. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bye, Kitty.
I can see the headline now. Music critic and Lady Van der Vane tell all.
How about music critic throttles editor with his own tie?
Like it, Douglas. Like it.
I don't think you really enjoyed that.
Yes, I did. It was nice.
Oh, good. And the dinner?
Oh, that was very nice.
God, honestly, Viv.
What?
Nice.
Well, it was. Very nice. So was the nookie. I said it was.
No. You said it was nice, not very nice. Dinner was very nice.
Well, I like food.
Thanks. Are you as enthusiastic as this with your other bloke?
No comment.
From the little you've told me, he doesn't sound anything like as nice as I am. Or as sexy.
Douglas.
Did he mind sharing you?
He'd far sooner not. But he says it's better than not having me at all. And I know you don't mind. In fact, you'd sooner, wouldn't you? Because it means I can't get serious. And that's not a hint, because I quite like being shared. You don't mind, do you? Me quite liking being shared? Oh!
What?
I saw your pal last night. Sir Roy Van der Vane. On the telly.
Yes. Everybody seems to have seen him.
He's quite dishy, isn't he? In an older man sort of way. How old is he? 50?
Bit older than that. But he wouldn't thank me for telling you.
Does he have lots of affairs and things? I bet he does.
Well, I don't know about now. Haven't seen him much since I worked for his orchestra. He may have settled out a bit.
What's Lady Van der Vane like?
Kitty lives in a state of permanent crisis. The kids used to call her Calamity Jane. Mind you, I say kids, they're grown up now.
Oh, yes. Penny, isn't it? The one you used to fancy?
Yes. Well, that was rather a long time ago, and he never amounted to anything anyway. No, trouble with Kitty is you can't tell what degree of crisis she's in, because her reaction is exactly the same, whatever it is. Oh, God, Douglas! She screams. You think she's going to tell you Roy's dead? And it turns out the milk's gone off.
What's this elevations thing he was on about in the interview?
Something he's written.
Oh, like a symphony, you mean?
No, he's good, but he wouldn't have the stamina for that. As a conductor, he's up there with the best of them. And he's a fair hand at the old fiddle as well. But even he wouldn't claim to be a great composer. He was a bit cagey about his elevations thing, wasn't he? Mm. Still, knowing Roy, it's almost certain to be some god-awful bit of trendy arse-creeping.
I like your style. You must use that in your next review.
Hmm. It does have a certain ring to it, doesn't it? I wish I knew what Kitty wants me for.
I'm so glad you came, Douglas, dear.
Well, of course I came.
You're so good, dropping everything just for me.
That was silly. I like the house, Kitty.
Do you, Douglas? I'm so glad. You don't think it's too big?
Well, there's a lot of you. You and Roy, Penny, Christopher, that chauffeur chap.
Oh, Gilbert isn't a chauffeur. He's one of Roy's protégés. You are silly.
Oh, I just thought... Well, he did pick me up at the station, then he did stick me in the back of the Rolls. What's he play? Violin?
Violin? No, he's a writer.
Ah.
And he's sort of Penny's, too.
Penny's what?
Well, you know.
Oh.
Oh, Douglas, really? Because he's black.
Of course not because he's black. I just...
Oh, Douglas, my dear, I'm so sorry. I should have remembered. You always were rather sweet on her.
I wouldn't put it quite like that.
Oh, it's only a phase.
Him a phase with her, or me going through a phase with Penny? Which I'm not, anyway.
Oh, look, there's Christopher. Isn't he sweet?
Where?
In there, in the music studio. Can't you see him? Through the window, playing his little record.
My God, is that Christopher? Last time I saw him, he was about 10.
Yes, he has grown rather, I suppose. He's 19 now. Let's go in and surprise him. He'd love to see you.
Kitty, I really haven't got all that much time.
Well, what do you want? I'm busy in it all, for crying out.
Christopher, darling, I brought Douglas over. You remember Douglas Yandler, don't you?
No, don't remember, no. Jeez, oh, crap.
Christopher's at Sussex University, you know. He's reading...
Oh, good. I'll see you. I'm off now. I've got to get a pack of season now. You know,
I wish you'd stop smoking, Christopher. It's not good for you.
Well, if you care for crap.
Well, of course I care, Christopher, darling. Of course I do. He's a very loving boy, really.
I'm sure.
Oh, I'm so glad you came, Douglas, dear. Do you like Roy's penthouse? He calls it that when he's in one of his funny moods, because it's actually on the ground. Of course, you know that.
Yes.
And the other thing he calls it when he thinks we're all down here too much, because it's supposed to be just for him, really, is All Buggers Hall.
Yes.
It is quite funny, isn't it?
Self-contained, I imagine.
Oh, yes. The front door's through there, and that leads to the road, and then there's a bathroom, a kitchen, recording equipment, and his intercom thing to the house, and a sort of a bed platform thing on that raised bit.
And what's upstairs?
Oh, upstairs there's a proper bedroom. Do you want to see it?
Well, later, perhaps. Not just now. Kitty, why all the beds?
Well, the idea is that he can have people to stay when he's working with them, without them all having to traipse down from the house. Well, like recently... He's been rehearsing very hard on that Elevations 9 with that funny pop group, the Piglets. Have you heard of them? They're really very sweet.
Is he really serious about this Elevations lark?
I think so. He's been practising a lot. You're not going to be cross with him.
None of my business. Besides...
Oh! Gilbert! This is Gilbert, Douglas Gilbert Alexander. Oh, how silly of me, you've already met. Imagine, Gilbert, Douglas thought that you were Roy's... Douglas is one of Roy's oldest friends, Gilbert.
I left some papers in here. Ah, yes, there they are.
Gilbert's writing a book.
Really? How's it coming along?
Don't patronise me, Mr. Randall. You don't want to know.
Yandel?
You're so grand and important and success-oriented... You wouldn't be interested in a poor someone like me. Admit it. Face facts.
Well, I suppose, since you mention it, Mr. Alexander, it would seem remarkable, certainly.
Douglas is like Roy Gilbert, but he's always making up little jokes and things.
Well, where do you come from, then? Trinidad?
Cricklewood. You don't care anyway. You realise, don't you, Kitty, that Mr. Randall...
Yandel.
...is an imperialist, racist, fascist.
Kitty, you told him.
No, honestly, I didn't... Oh, Douglas.
Surely you must agree that your employer is the most frightful shit.
Well, obviously, you don't get to be the editor of a Fleet Street newspaper without the proper qualifications.
I've observed this relentlessly flippant style in your music column. I'll be in the house if you want me, Kitty.
He didn't really mean all that, you know.
I rather thought he did.
Oh, no, you mustn't worry. He feels he has to say things. His friends go on at him if he doesn't.
Ah.
The white ones more than the black ones. Douglas, do you think you could hang about?
How do you mean?
Well, I don't know, really. Just hang about, just for a bit.
How long a bit?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm just thinking of trains and things.
Oh, don't worry about getting back. You can stay here.
I would, Kitty, but I've got an early start tomorrow and...
Douglas, he's getting ready.
What?
You know, getting ready again, getting ready for another one of his goes.
Oh, Christ. Really?
He may even have started.
Not the pants again?
Yes. Oh, how incredible of you to remember.
I have never forgotten.
I checked them last week. There were definitely 3 fewer than there were last weekend.
Yes, but surely, Inspector...
Never really quite understood that inspector joke, Douglas.
Well, it's not really a joke, Kitty. more a parody of a certain kind of...
Look, I mean, it's not conclusive proof, is it? The incredible shrinking wife runs.
Which it is. You see, Roy's never been what you might call a cleanliness fanatic. I don't mean he pongs or anything. He's just like most men, that's all. Not all that bothered about changing his underclothes twice a day, shall we say. Not that people do, but you know what I mean. Except when he's coming up for one of his goes. And that's when he stockpiles on pants.
And then the pile goes...
Just like that. And that's not all. With the pants, together with them, he is off to a whole lot of interviews and things, or recording sessions in out-of-the-way places with no telephones or only a call box and he doesn't remember the number. Oh, it's all so feeble.
But what do you want me to do?
Oh, just hang about.
Oh, Kitty.
Well, I can't think what else. You're the only person who knows him well enough, apart from me, to ask him. No, I can't ask him. I mean, well, just find out what you can.
Do you know who she is?
No, I wish to God I did. No, I don't. Not after that one who designed jewellery.
God, her, no. Are you sure there's someone?
The pants. And, well, he is about due, you see.
Sorry?
For one of his goes.
Oh, but Kitty...
No, he is. You think back.
Yes. Where is he now?
You may well ask. Having a working lunch, but he's not quite sure where, because the chap hadn't made up his mind, with a chap whose name he couldn't remember, because it's so unpronounceable, who's got some very vague idea of fixing up a tour of Brazil, which he thinks probably almost certainly would be a bad idea, but he might as well find out more, and anyway, it's a free lunch, and he's no idea how long it'll go on.
Ah.
And now, of course, I'm going away. I told you. Oh, no, I didn't tell you. It's very sinister. Have you ever heard of a radio programme called The Women Behind?
Behind what?
Behind the Men of Music. But they just call it by the first bit.
No.
No. Neither had I.
Is that the sinister bit?
I think Roy devised it.
You mean it's sinister that he's gone into devising panel games?
Oh, it's not a panel game, I don't think. Oh, I hope not. They said they were going to interview me about my life with Roy. Don't you see? Roy arranged it, devised it, and interested the producer in it, and then got him to ask me to go on it, to get me out of the way.
But you'll only be away a couple of hours.
The recording's in Manchester.
Well, even so, sounds a bit far-fetched. Any idea what she's like? No, of course not. You don't even know who she is, do you?
Well, they've been running at about 20 to 22 over the last 3 years or so, tending to go down, getting younger, something like half the rate he gets older. When he's 73, they'll be 10.
And when he's 83, they'll be 5.
Yes.
Gilbert says to tell you Grubb's up. Oh.
It's Douglas, Penny.
Go on. Watch your cock.
It's really nice to see you, Penny.
So he wants us all up there.
Oh, she was so pleased to see you.
Yes, sounded like it.
Oh, you know, Penny Douglas, it's just her way. She adores you, we all do. Well, come on, we'd better go up to the house or Gilbert will only fret. He's a marvellous cook, you know.
Oh, for God's sake, pull your finger out, Coates. This is no good. No good at all.
Well, then, not much to go on, Harold.
Classical conductor goes pop by our showbiz correspondent, Albert Coates. Trendy musician Sir Roy van der Veen is once again hanging on the coattails of young people with his latest composition, Elevations 9. Arrogant conductor, not classical.
Arrogant, yes, much better.
I know it's better. It's not enough. Jumped up, little pipsqueak.
Arrogant, pip-squeak conductor.
Oh, don't be stupid, Coates. Where's the thrust?
The thrust? Well, I suppose that he's a bit trendy.
Have I got to write it for you? Everybody knows he's a philandering swine. Everybody knows he's a namby-pamby lefty, always sucking up to these nasty little pop stars in his ridiculous clothes and insisting on being taken seriously as a serious artist and telling the Yanks to get out of Vietnam,
yes, but...
signing petitions to legalize filthy drugs and attacking Mary Whitehouse and sucking up to the Russians' bloody commie.
Don't think he's actually card-carrying, Harold.
Where's Yandel? He knows the swine.
Well, actually, Harold, he's just... just gone to see him. Well, gone to see the missus anyway.
Oh, has he? St. Albans way, isn't it?
Think so.
Typical.
A bit trendy, you mean?
Counter-trendy. Deliberately. Anyone else of his so-called distinction would live in St. John's Wood.
Your patch.
Who's he got there?
Where?
At his bloody great house in St. Albans, you fool.
Lady Vanderbilt?
I know that. What sort of menage? Bound to be something going on. What's the daughter called?
Penny, I think Douglas said. Early 20s. Pretty, too. I saw a photo of her once. And there's a boy, too, a bit younger. Children of the first marriage, of course.
Staff?
Don't know. I mean, I can find out, of course.
Too democratic, isn't it, to have staff? Any protégé? He's usually got some little tart hanging around. Any 18-year-old triangle players with big knockers?
Not that I've heard. Well, not living in, anyway. There's a black chap. Don't think he's a musician, though.
That doesn't count, unless Van der Veen's on the turn. Is he?
Harold, can I ask you something? Why do you want to nail him?
Because he's an intellectual lout, a vile, irreclaimable, cloven-hoofed turd who ought to be put up against a wall and shot slowly.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if he wasn't one of those degenerates dancing round the pool at Cliveden with the Keeler woman. Check on that.
I think we'd have heard.
Yes, he's good at covering up. There must be something we can dig up.
Are you there, Kitty, please?
Isn't this lovely? You are clever, Gilbert.
It's only a bloody salad, for God's sake.
Mr. Randall?
Yandel.
And you there, Penny?
This is
nice. When did you two see each other last?
Oh,
2 years ago. You fumbled my boobs in the back of a taxi.
Oh, look!
What?
In the garden, a snail. Now then, why don't we all...
You were pissed, of course. You kept poking at them with your finger and saying they were like Oliver Hardy's kneecaps.
Oh, these children. Christopher's just as bad.
Ham, Kitty?
Oh, thank you, Gilbert.
What's it about? Your book?
West Indians in London.
A novel?
No. The culture that produces the novel is dying.
Really?
Something much freer from narrow traditions, more adventurous, altogether in form. It bears analogies to music or the visual arts.
But it's got a story.
A story, rhythm, character?
Plasticity, shape, boredom, the lot.
Don't be facile, Penny. I've spoken to you about that before. It's an unattractive trait, especially in a woman.
Very Victorian, Argyll.
I lost my heart in the English garden. Just where the roses of England grow.
Oh, Christ.
Christopher, we're not going out again.
Watch it, Chris. Hey, don't go. I want to have a word with you. Whoops. Was it something I said? Well, Douglas! Douglas, how marvellous to see you!
Roy, how are you?
How are you, you old bastard?
I didn't think you were coming.
This is great, fantastic!
Super, super.
Penny, you remember Douglas.
Oh, yes, we've,
been into that, yes.
Why didn't you tell me you was coming, Kitty?
Because she's up to something.
Penny, no, I'm not.
Better watch out, Douglas.
Where have you been all morning, Father, dear Father?
Douglas, it is good to see you.
How was the lunch?
What? Beg your pardon? Didn't quite catch that.
How was the lunch?
Oh, the lunch! I told you, Kitty, this chap I met the other day, Felix Gradinsky, I still can't get my tongue around it, but it doesn't matter anyway. Because his super tour of all the banana republics, or whatever, was obviously never going to come to anything. I sussed that out right from the off. It turned out to be the most god-awful bore. But what can you do? Didn't take me to lunch, as promised and expected. Instead, shot down into this foul little club in Soho, and wouldn't you know? No telephone. Well, there was one, but it had been vandalised. I asked Douglas. A vandalised payphone in a private club. Says a lot for the members, eh? Oh, are you off, Gilbert?
Two down, two to go.
Anyway, we hadn't been there 5 minutes when who should walk in but that...
Pop up to my bedroom before you go, Douglas. I'll be having a quickie with Gil.
What's up with everybody? Cheeky little cow.
She didn't mean that, Douglas. She was only teasing you.
Although I wouldn't bet on it.
And you mustn't go without saying goodbye to her and me.
Kitty, where are you off to?
I have to get ready for your programme. What's it called? The Woman Left Behind?
The Woman Left... Oh, Kitty's made a joke. Very good. Anyway, listen, my love.
In Kitty's terms, that was the equivalent of a door slam.
Was that a bit too...
Overkill, yes. Too much detail.
Over the top with the verisimilitude.
Just a whisker. What were you up to, incidentally?
I was with her, of course.
Who is she?
Now, look here, Inspector.
All quite innocent, I'm sure, sir. But I'm going to have to ask you a few questions, I'm afraid.
Ask away, Inspector, for all the good it will do you.
Very well. Lord Hampton, how do you explain the pair of Wellington boots filled with raspberry yoghurt?
Damn you, Inspector, how did you get on to me?
It was really quite simple, sir. I think you failed to see the significance...
Yes, Inspector, the significance of what exactly?
The pants, Roy.
What?
Well, that's how Kitty knew. I told you about it once at the start of your go-before-last pants. You know.
Bloody Gestapo! Women, is one to have no privacy at all? I don't go rooting through her knickers. By the way, Duggars, there's something I'd like to ask you.
Ah, a favour. Now, that...
No, not a favour. No favours. Well, apart from lending a sympathetic ear favour.
Hmm. Look, I don't know why you can't buy a pair somewhere when you're out. You could save yourself so much trouble.
Yeah, and have the bloody shopman say, and will there be anything further, Sir Roy? Some underarm deodorant or a packet of horn pills?
Get them in Marks and Sparks. Do I know her, this new one?
They know me there, too. It's that bastard Telly. And now, Sir Roy, someone you haven't seen for 8 minutes. We've flown her over all the way from the Oxford Street branch of Marks and Spencer's. The girl who sold you your nookie time wife runs. Hilda Scratch. No, you don't know her. But honestly, half my trouble comes from never knowing when some bugger isn't going to recognize me. I was sneaking into a block of flats in the... Well, never mind where... And the bloody porter stuck his head out of the window and yelled, "The lift's out of order, Sir Roy! Afraid you'll have to use the stairs!" It was those concerts I did last year for ITV. Them and that bollocking silly panel game.
Look, if buying a pair of underpants makes you want to wear a false beard...
Oh, Spyro Agnew, stop talking about the bloody underpants.
All I meant was, if that worries you, how do you manage to take your friend out somewhere?
I don't take my friend out anywhere. Do you think I'm a complete bloody fool?
What do you do, then?
Stay undercover. Occasionally, I go to her flat. I was there this morning. But there's a bit of roommate trouble there.
Oh, by the way, Roy, how old is she, just as a matter of interest?
20.
Ah?
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing, really. It's just something Kitty's... I suppose, though, it did strike me that it's somehow a bit, well, young.
This whole country's age-obsessed... I know you dislike young people, Duggars, but I do wish you'd make an effort to get out of this habit of thinking in categories all the time. The whole generation gap is just an invention of the media and the Yanks. You obviously don't know the first thing about youth in the true sense. You have no conception of what it's like, what it knows, what it can do.
Is it just youth you're talking about, or this representative of youth?
The whole bit. She's shown me so much I never... suspected the existence of before.
Really? What sort of things do you mean?
Oh, everything. Ways of feeling, ways of seeing.
Ways of hearing?
Oh, bugger off, Duggars. Of course she likes pop. They all do.
Who is she?
Nobody you know.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean, aha? Uh-huh.
If she was nobody I know, you'd have said her name is Hilda Scratch of Marks and Sparks. But when you say nobody I know, what you mean is either it's the daughter of a close friend of mine, or the daughter of somebody famous, or a starlet.
Her name's Sylvia.
Sylvia. Anyway, I'll give you one thing. It's pretty good going for a man of your general...
Yeah, an old shag like me to have it off with a kid of 20.
Yes. But I meant a bit more than that. It's not just the having it off, but keeping her happy with never going out with you. No parties, no flash restaurants, none of the perks of being Sir Roy Vandervane's bit of stuff. Ah, she must be an unusual kid of 20, especially by today's standards, to put up with being kept indoors like that.
Well, she's not putting up with it, as a matter of fact. Every time I see her, she spends longer complaining about being hidden away. Any minute now, she'll refuse to go to bed with me unless we go out together in public, and I can't have that. Not just the two of us on our own.
Oh, I see. So it'll have to be the four of us. You and she and Penny and I, disguised as your daughter's girlfriend, and your daughter and her girlfriend's boyfriend, who also, by a happy coincidence, turns out to be an old friend of yours. Very neat. Cozy, too. And no.
It's the only thing I could think of. I was at my wit's end until I heard Kitty phoning you.
Sympathetic ear favour. It strikes me that Gilbert would be far more your man. Penny likes him. And then he's more the right age and everything.
Oh, you've got age on the brain. Penny's 23 and you're 35. That's 12 years. That's nothing. I've already asked him anyway.
And he turned you down?
Flat. These chaps are very puritanical, you know.
Well, what about Penny? She can't stand me.
That's just the way they go on, young people, today. She's already agreed.
You're joking.
I know all this probably makes me look a right shit and probably be a right shit, but I'm in love with this curious little creature.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Yes, and perhaps that doesn't justify anything. But you can't imagine how it makes me look forward to each day and really tremendously want to work.
On Elevations 9?
Elevations 9, yes, and other things. Which hasn't happened to me for years, I can assure you. I mean, why do you think I got into Gus again, for God's sake?
Into... Oh, Gus.
Yes. Really into the old bugger, you know. I know you don't rate Marla very highly, but I keep finding new facets in him. And I wouldn't have done that before Sylvia. I know it sounds wet, though.
No, it doesn't. Difficult for me to take in, but not wet. She's not a royal, is she?
My God, Inspector! You've cracked it!
Oh, all right, then. I'll put her down as working title Sylvia Scratch. But I ought to know if we're all going out together. Did you arrange Kitty's radio program?
No. What?
You are a sod.
It's what we call in show business a three-star program format. Entertaining, informative, and get her out of the house.
Oh, no, it's tonight. I'm not here.
Well, yes, well, I did sort of think we might start off here. A few drinks, friendly atmosphere and so on. I mean, why not?
Why didn't you say?
I just did.
All this deviousness. You left me to work it out. You'd made up your mind yesterday, for God's sake, when you knew Kitty had asked me down. And Gilbert had turned you down. And why here?
Sylvia wants to see the house, followed by a perfectly civilized evening out, too, of course. You'll enjoy it.
Where are we going?
Why don't you take things as they come? I do.
I know you're unplanned, let things happen at their own pace sort of evenings.
I promise you. Just a bite to eat in a perfectly conventional restaurant.
Followed by?
Followed by nothing. Well, nothing awful, anyway.
Ah.
No, honestly.
Hmm.
A little surprise for the girls, that's all.
Have I got time to go home first? I've got some things to do.
Can't you do them here? And I could show you around that studio of mine.
Kitty showed me.
Oh. What do you think?
Very nice.
Not too impressed?
Well, seems a bit extravagant just as a bolt hole. Especially as Kitty says everybody else uses it.
All buggers all. But it is quite useful. That place isn't just for getting away. It's a recording studio. We could practically cut our own discs there if we wanted to.
How many elevations are there, by the way? Or are you going to compose the other 8 retrospectively?
Oh, Duggars! It's just a joke, a play on words, indicating an enviable endowment. Elevations 9.
Oh, I see.
I'm not pretending the pigs out are brilliant, not in the Jaggers class or the Who, but they're all right.
But why, Roy?
Kitty took quite a shine to them when they were staying here, but she got it wrong, of course. Kept calling them the piglets. And Vic, he's a drummer. Vic did farmyard impressions every time she drifted down to the studio. So the poor old boot never twigged. Why what?
What? Oh, why a bloke like you should want to play silly buggers with music?
You're not going to review my composition, then? And, its performance?
Oh, God.
Why not its performance? You don't give a fella much of a chance, do you? You might like it. What have you got to go back to your flat for?
Oh, nothing much, but I can't do it here. And I'll have to change if we're going out. Not that I can match your style.
Oh, I don't know. Penny might find the 50s look rather fetching. Leather patches on the sleeves and the pipe, is it? Oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you, I suppose. It's not girl 20. It's girl 17.
What?
Oh, I see. Douglas, old chap. Let me get you a drink.
No. It's all right. Girl.
17, yes. Bit of a shock?
Well, yes. It does seem rather...
Yes, I suppose it does, you being somewhat younger than me. It's the way sex strikes one at different times, if you follow me.
Not really.
All right. So how can I best describe it? As you get older, Duggars, you'll find that absolutely straight down the middle sex doesn't strike in quite the same way as it did when you started off. I'll give you a for instance. Now, do you remember that chap in that James Joyce book who went round the streets at night?
Naked women.
Right. Went round yelling, "Naked women!" to give himself a thrill.
Do you know, when I was 15, I used to stand on the platform at Covent Garden Tube Station, wait for the train to come roaring in and shout, "Milky white thighs!"
There you are, then. And there was some other chap in a book by some Frenchman, I seem to remember, who said he couldn't read Girl 20 in a small ad column without getting a horn. Well, that was all very bloody well for them and you with your milky white thighs. We all went through that stage in our youth. And nowadays, as far as I'm concerned, it's got to be something more. More detailed and off the beaten track. I suppose in one sense it doesn't matter what it is as long as it's something.
What? You mean like dressing up or flashing?
Or turning queer.
Hmm?
I mean as an idea, you understand. It strikes you. Plenty of facilities. These days, highly respectable, pleasant companions. Comparatively inexpensive. And the male appendage is a splendid thing. And a splendid idea as well. It strikes you. The trouble is that in every case it's got a man on the end of it. Which I'm afraid puts paid to it as far as I'm concerned. But you get my drift.
Mm.
Well, anyway...
Yes, I'm with you.
What I'm trying to say is... I was dismissing Girl 20 just now, but it gets about 15% better as an idea if you can expand it to Girl 20 and a man just old enough to be her grandfather. And as you know, she's actually Girl 17, and that jacks it up no end, I can assure you.
Good God.
Aging shag tries to stimulate jaded appetite by recreating situation of first discovery of sex.
Plus whiff of illegality, corruption of youth... Dirty old man luring child into disused plate layer's hut and plying her with wine gums and dandelion and burdock to induce her to remove knickers and slake his vile lust.
That's it exactly. No better description possible. You've hit the thing right on the nose.
Aren't you taking rather a risk?
Yes. There's that too. You can see why I've been keeping her out of sight to some extent. But actually, I haven't been breaking the law much, as far as I know. She doesn't drink. And anyway, she'll be 18 soon. I'm sorry to say. Oh, are you off, old son?
Yes. Got to get back. I've got a book at home that sort of covers your field.
Ha ha ha! Going to read me up, are you?
Well, I'm going to find it. And then I'm going to chuck it in the canal.
Terrific.
It's just that I thought you ought to know.
Yeah, thanks. Much appreciated.
We've always been honest with each other.
And there's my other bloke.
Well, yes, quite frankly. But I don't mean it as sauce for the goose. Penny doesn't even fancy me. She has got Gilbert. But seeing her again today, well, I realise that she's still...
Important to you, darling?
I'm a bit hung up on her, yes.
Always been honest with each other.
What do you mean?
You fancy your chances and you're just trying to cover yourself with me before you get her into bed. Oh, don't be so wet, Douglas. I know you. I wasn't born yesterday. Well, she was. You're going the same way as your old fiddler friend.
That was in confidence. I shouldn't have told you.
Oh, what's the big secret? So his bit of crumpet is 17. Everyone will know she's 17 when they run off together.
Well, I don't think it'll come to that.
She's not underage, is she? Not jailbait.
Why do you say that?
Dunno, really. But reading between the lines, it sounds to me like he's got a Lolita complex.
I never said that.
Methinks you doth protest too much. That doesn't sound right. Is it, doth?
Medivale 2546.
I have a call for you from Manchester. Will you accept the charge?
Manchester? Oh, well, Manchester. Yes, yes, I'll accept the call. Hello, hello, Kitty?
Oh, Douglas, thank God I found you.
What is it?
Oh, I can't stop long. The programme starts in about half an hour. Oh, Douglas, I found out who she is. She's called Sylvia.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I found out where she lives and everything, every last detail.
What's her other name?
Oh, I don't know that. But, Douglas, I want you to do me a very great favour, and God knows you've done enough for me already. But, oh, I've got to go. They just called my name out over that loudspeaker thing.
Kitty, what is it you want me to...
I'll call you tomorrow, Douglas, dear. Oh, you're such a rock. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I must go. Bye.
Oh, well?
Does she always go on like that?
Could you hear her?
How could I not?
Lots of men prefer younger women.
Have you been holding that in your head all the time you're on the phone? Well, you like them anyway. Your precious Penny's 12 years younger than you.
Yes. At least I've told you about her anyway.
So you have. No, I don't mind. I've got my other bloke and you've got your other bit of stuff. Fair dues all round, I'd say. What does his wife really feel about this Sylvia person, do you think?
She's terrified. Absolutely terrified.
Well, you're not much help to her then, are you? Going out with her old man's girlfriend and his daughter. Oh, here, let me know if she looks like Penny. Perhaps it's a case of vicarious incest.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's just see, anyway.
Oh, Dad, must we?
Well, Douglas wants to see it.
What?
It may not be on at all, but I'd like to see just what...
If all goes according to plan...
Oh, now that looks pretty boring.
...early next year. Sir Roy Van der Veen, the classical musician and conductor...
Oh, God.
...will join forces next week with the younger generation in the shape of the pop group Peaks Out.
Oh, no.
We spoke to Jimmy Troll, lead singer of the group. How does he feel about working with a classical musician?
He's a smashing bloke, Roy, a smashing bloke. Really great, you know, terrific.
Oh, God.
I thought, you know, be a bit toffee-nosed and that, but he's not. He's terrific, definitely. Not bad on the old violin, neither. Terrific.
Well, he's had a bit of practice, hasn't he? What exactly is Elevations 9?
Well, it's Roy on the violin and us backing him, sort of.
Bloody
and,
hell.
It's all happening at the Arshed Farm Palace, folks, so don't miss it.
Terrific.
Man.
Oh, shut up.
I believe the event is in aid of charity.
Well, causes, actually. Legalised cannabis and VOF.
VOF?
Victims of the Fuzz.
Oh, really, Roy?
Yeah, we've seen enough, I think.
You can say that again.
Well, this is nice.
Home, sweet home. Where is she, your Bint?
She'll be here in a minute. Refill, Douglas?
No, thanks. I thought you said 7.
I told her 6:30, actually. Sylvia's got very little sense of time, I'm afraid.
But great timing.
Hello?
It's me, Roy.
Hello, good. Yes, of course.
Gordon Bennett.
Look, sweetie, Sylvie, listen, darling, why don't you get into one of those nice taxis you'll find outside the station and come straight here? Like I said.
But you didn't.
Yes, I did, darling.
Why?
Well, because it'll save time, my sweet.
I can't wait.
And I can't either.
Shut
up, Pen. What? Well, if you like, but honestly, it'd be much quicker by taxi.
There isn't
one. There must be. Look, I'll hold on while you look. There's always at least 3 outside.
Oh,
bugger
that.
Oh, honestly. Darling, you're dreadful.
Oh, could you please?
All right. Give me 5 minutes.
Do you love me?
You know I do.
Bye.
Bye. That was Sylvia.
Oh!
Look, you'll be stuffy about this, Douglas, will you?
About what?
Well, Sylvia, she's in a bit of a state.
Pregnant?
He means high.
Well, sort of, yes, but it's only part. It doesn't kill you. Not like filthy cigarettes.
Oh, well, it's your house. I don't suppose anyone's going to raid you.
Hang on, I'll just see if old... Gilbert!
Yes, Roy?
Where's the car, old lad? I mean, is it at the back or the front or what?
It's in the garage.
Oh, only I want to pick somebody up from the station, that's all. I don't suppose you would,
No, Roy.
No, well, respect your feelings, of course.
Thank you, Roy.
Yes, well, I'll be about, 10 minutes at the most. At less, probably. It's okay?
Even Gilbert disapproves, so why are you going along with it?
Why are you?
Dunno. Curiosity, mostly.
Same here.
You're not curious about anything.
All right. I can't stand being on my own. I can't stand being with one other person. I can't stand being with a lot of people. I don't mind being asleep.
You're not on drugs, are you?
Not at the moment, I'm not. You always think they're going to be good, but they're not. Not really. Not for me, anyway.
Well, that's something, anyway.
It gets like seeing everything in a lot of mirrors, or through funny glass like a migraine, or looking up from the floor. But it's the same thing, really. Of course, I haven't had anything hard.
Heroin? You haven't taken that, have you?
Not so far, I haven't.
You're not going to?
Why not? Why shouldn't I?
Why not? Because it kills you.
What's wrong with that? Oh, Jesus, I hate this place. Tonight'll be a chance to get out. He takes a bit of notice of you. Try and talk him out of it, will you?
Talk him out of what? Having it away?
They're here. They can't be. They are, though. Of course not having it away, you silly fool.
Or what?
Oh, forget it. No, I mean, going off with her.
He won't do that. It's just a passing...
Is it? Douglas, please?
Oh, all right. I'll try to talk to him.
Yeah.
You told me to.
No, you told me to come and fetch you. It was sheer bloody good luck. I saw your taxi at all.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad you did see me. Hello!
Sylvia, I want you to meet...
I know who you are. You're the darling daughter I'm old enough to be Penelope. Reckon you could give me a few years, sweetie. No offence.
Yeah.
You're joking about that dress.
No offence.
Yeah, and this is...
Oh, who else do you want me to meet, darling? Someone lovely, I hope?
You know who it is. Don't be silly, Sylvia. He's my best mate.
Oh.
Sylvia, Douglas. Douglas, Sylvia.
How do you do? My other name is Yandel. I know yours. It's Scratch. It is rather good, isn't it?
Actually, it's Smith. P-S-M-I-T-H. The P is silent, as in bath.
Right, well, a spot, I think, before we, Sylvia?
A Coke, if you've got it.
If not, something very like it, I'm sure.
How about gin and Ribena?
Penny? No? A bit of soda in yours, Douglas?
Look, hadn't we better be on our way to wherever it is?
Don't get this down you and shut up.
What a terribly nice house.
Well, it's a bit of a barn, really, but the studio down there, that's quite cosy. Well, sit down, everybody.
I thought we were going out.
We are, we are. There's no rush, though. Get to know each other a bit first.
Why? Oh.
Getting to know you.
Yes.
Oh, you're looking very... Yeah, but, sexy, right?
Darling, this is lovely, and I do enjoy it. Only perhaps, after all, we do have a sort of company. So,
Roy.
Well,
I don't actually mind if we stay here.
I do.
But if we are going out, I would at least like to have some idea of where it is we're going.
Douglas, I promise you, you'll love it. Absolutely love it.
I hate it!
What?
You said I love it! I hate it!
Yes, Ray, this is it! I told you to love it!
Why do we have to sit here?
Why do we have to sit here in the dark?
I mean, why?
Why not?
It is called the Great War, old son. Must have been dark in the trenches.
But we're not in the trenches.
Not at these prices.
Where's your imagination? It's authentic, down to the last German helmet, darling. A friend of mine designed it. This bit's called the Passchendaele Stick Room.
They had stakes at Passchendaele, did they?
Oh, don't be so stuffy. It's a fun thing. Two floors up, there's a bar called the...
The Third Battle of the Somme Barrette.
Yes. I got a perfectly decent Jack Daniels there last week.
You've been here before?
What happens after this?
Oh, God, don't you start, Pen.
It's a surprise!
In the blue corner, the blonde from Barnsley, and in the red corner, the thing from Woodford!
Glad you came, Douglas!
Wouldn't have missed it for the world!
Go on! Kenneth!
I suppose the experience must have traumatised her. Only to be expected, really.
What are you banging about now?
The Great War. An experience like that would make anyone hold life cheap.
No, very amusing. You just don't like her, do you?
Pull his legs off!
It's not so much that I don't like her. She reminds me of someone I don't like.
Who?
Aha! Onto something, am I?
It was only because she was a bit stone.
Really?
Underneath, she's really quite soft.
Gouge his eyes out!
Yes, I see what you mean.
Douglas, I want to get out of here.
I don't think we
they
can just...
They won't care.
Yes, but Penny,
I thought we'd go back to your place.
In that case, I think we could just stretch a point.
Mm. Half past seven. Ought to be moving, really. Mm. No, really.
Not yet.
Look, I don't mind. Well, I can stay a bit longer if you want me to.
Yes, I do.
But afterwards...
Mm.
That'll be it.
What?
Finish. End. Full stop. No more. No offence.
None taken.
I just don't want you getting any wrong ideas. It's a one-off, right? An isolated incident. No phone calls, no letters, no flowers by request. Nothing about you personally. Just how it is. You didn't try very hard with Roy, did you?
To what?
To stop him. Have another go at it. But really try, Douglas. Talk some sense into him.
Oh, I see.
You don't. You and me last night was nothing to do with that. That was separate. I told you it's not going to happen again, and that wasn't to show you it was separate. It all just is.
I did try, actually. When you and Lucretia Borgia were in the ladies... Oh, well, right. Not very hard. But only because he wouldn't have done any good. Penny, listen. I'd like to help about everything. Take you on, eh?
No. Nobody gets to take me on. Sorry. I told you it isn't you. You're a bit pompous, but you're all right.
Oh, thanks.
God, wasn't it, though? Last night...
It was a bit.
What a loony he bloody is. Wrestling. Did you know?
Of course I didn't. It was his surprise.
Did you notice how she went? When he stepped on his windpipe, and when he tried to gouge his eyes out, she was having an orgasm, practically.
You know, you're right.
Make a good pair, don't they? I reckon she'll move in.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, why do you say that?
He's like that too, really, as a matter of fact. He destroys things. Pulling legs off human flies. You've known him all these years and you never noticed.
Roy? Well, he's not... I mean, don't you think you're...
Oh, forget it, Four Eyes. Come on, show me where you keep the cornflakes.
Medivale 2546.
Mayor's here.
Harold?
Free for lunch tomorrow.
Yes, I suppose so. No, I mean, yes, of course. Thanks.
1 o'clock, Simpsons.
Yes, yes, I've got that. Look, can I ask you... He's never done that before.
Who was it?
It was my editor. He wants to take me to lunch.
Such a tower of strength, Douglas, dear.
Kitty, can't I make you change your mind?
No, no, really. I know what I'm doing.
You don't know what she's like. She's awful. And Roy didn't mean it, I'm sure. He wouldn't marry her. I mean, how did he say it?
Got to dash, old thing, and by the way, that's how casual means final with him. So it is definite. Oh, this is quite a nice area.
Mm.
Did Roy set her up in this flat?
No, no, she shares it with a couple of girls, I think.
Oh. Well, she's only a child. She may be very sweet underneath.
Want to bet?
Oh, this is it. 24B.
Ah.
Poor Douglas. You look positively ashen. You can leave me here if you like. You've got that luncheon appointment.
No, no, it's all right. Plenty of time. In for a penny.
Douglas, hold my mirror for me, will you?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God!
What?
I look awful.
I thought you just witnessed a murder. Honestly, Kitty.
Douglas, hold it still.
Sorry.
Oh, it'll have to do, I suppose.
Kitty, you look fine. You still haven't told me how you found the address.
Oh, well, you know Roy. He leaves things where he knows you'll find them. It's quite deliberate.
Yes? Oh, it's you.
Sylvia, this is Lady Vandervane.
Oh, yes? Yes, you look like Roy says you look. What do you want? I was having a bath.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What a pretty dressing gown. May we come in, my dear?
If you want to. Through here. Well, somebody say something.
So, you're Sylvia. You're so young. So young.
And you're so...
All right. All right.
Sylvia.
I want to do my hair, so whatever it is you want, say it and go.
Oh, well. Sylvia, I'm appealing to you.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Yes, it's all I can do. I've nothing to fight with, no bribes to offer.
Oh, right. Discussion over, then.
I can only ask you to realise the unhappiness that you'll be bringing for people who never hurt you.
Which are they?
Well, Roy's two children and myself.
You aren't including Roy, then?
Oh, well, it's not for me to say.
No, that's right. Well, from the way he talks about his life at home, I can't see he gives a stuff for any of you, so I don't see why I should.
That's not true.
Please, Douglas.
Shut up. And don't come on so strong, Lady Vandervane. Don't try and queen it over me. You're not on camera, you know. Just talk ordinary, if you can. What else have you got?
All right. I suppose there is no reason why you should care about me, but think of the children.
I am. I've met one of them, and you can put her through a mincing machine for all I care. The other one I've never even seen, so screw him too.
Can't I even ask you to go on being with Roy? See as much of him as you like, but not actually go off with him. Not take him away, not marry him. Won't you at least think about it?
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Right. I've thought about it. The answer's no.
But you don't love him. You're not capable of loving.
Come on, Kitty, let's go.
It's all so unbelievable. Now that I know the sort of person you are, I'm quite frankly incredulous. What could any man of the remotest intelligence or taste or discrimination see in you?
Leave it, Kitty.
Oh, that's easy. I'll show you what he sees in me. There. Satisfied?
I couldn't believe my eyes.
I told you what she's like.
Imagine a girl doing that. But she made her point remarkably well. She is beautiful.
Young, Kitty, that's all. Young.
I was her age once and I didn't look like that. It's so unfair.
Well, he's never asked me.
He didn't ask. He told me.
Still, even so, lunch, eh? Perhaps he's going to give you the push. Where's he taking you?
Simpsons.
Oh, he's going to buy you a going-away suit.
Simpsons in the Strand, the restaurant.
Blimey.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Bloody it. Albert, who's that?
Eh, who? Where?
Just come out of Mia's office. No, no, no. Don't let her see you looking.
Oh, you've seen her before, haven't you? Sylvia.
Sylvia who?
Mears. Sylvia Mears, boss's daughter. I should steer clear if I were you, old son. She's practically jailbait anyway, but on top of that, I've heard some pretty...
Douglas Yandel.
It's Roy.
Oh, hello, Roy.
What happened to you last night?
Ah, yes, sorry about that. Penny was a bit tired.
How about lunch?
No, sorry, I can't today. Having lunch with someone else.
At Simpsons?
Did you say Simpsons?
Yes.
Roy, I think there's something you should know.
Is this part of his strategy? Because if it is, I'm going to make it part of mine by having another drink.
He keeps everybody waiting.
Why does he want you here, do you suppose? Waiter, two more of these, please.
Certainly, sir.
Harold Street, after all.
And he doesn't like spending money.
Oh, a bit tight, eh? Make them doubles, will you? Now, why do you think, Duncan?
Well, he always has been. Oh, you mean why me? Well, no idea. Why didn't you tell me she was his daughter?
Oh, I thought I had. No, but really, why? If we can work out why he's dragged you along, we may be able to spike his guns.
Some sort of unofficial observer.
Yes, and obviously he wants to put a stop to Sylvia and me. Perhaps the old sob wants to provoke me into giving a poke in the eye, with you as a star witness. Oh, there you are, Mears.
Van der Veen, Yandel, had a nice little chat.
Your drinks, gentlemen.
Thank you. And I'm sure our host would care for something.
Perrier water.
Sir.
Oh, and two more of these, please.
One more. You don't need another, Yandel. You'll probably need several when I finish with you.
Oh, yeah? Excellent brandy. I must say, you've done us proud. Wouldn't mind a spot more, though. See if you can catch his eye, Douglas. There's a good chap.
I'm not going to beat about the bush.
Oh, coming to the point, are we?
You're an unsuitable companion for my daughter.
Oh, knock it off.
And would be a more than unsuitable husband for her.
Will be, I agree.
I propose to end the one relationship and prevent the other. For reasons I won't go into, my daughter's beyond my control.
She's a grown woman.
At 17.
You realize, don't you, why she's beyond your control? You simply have no conception of how young people feel today. You're incapable of empathizing with... Oi, where are you off to, Duggar?
Sit down.
Well, I don't really think that
I want you to hear all this. That's why you're here, so shut up and listen.
I don't get all this stuff about my unsuitability. The age business doesn't matter. You're letting your dislike of my politics interfere with Sylvia's happiness, and that's a very
I detest your politics, or rather the half-baked mess you call your politics. In the swim and bugger the facts, sell the country to the Russians.
Oh, Jesus, well...
But that's got nothing to do with it.
No?
No. You're the exact opposite of what my daughter needs. Firmness, common sense, stability, self-discipline, patience. You're...
Save it, Mears. What's the point you're coming to?
It won't take long. I have here a draft of a feature article about you, which I shall publish in my newspaper if I ever hear of your having dealings with my daughter after the lapse of 48 hours from this moment.
Oh, I get it. A gutter press smear. You really are pathetic.
Let me give you some idea of the contents. The generation gap. Leading figures of today as seen by their children. I love me, is father's slogan, says Chris Van der Veen.
Let me see that.
Oh, you will, you will.
Harold, you can't...
Shut up, Yandel, you're just here for the ride. I love me, is father's slogan, says Chris Van der Veen, 20, son of... Well, we know all about that. Brief run-through of your musical attainments and the political stuff. Deadpan, nothing snide, no need for it in view of what comes later. We do rather stress your involvement with the cause of youth, understanding of, sympathy with, buddy-buddying the Beatles and so on. Oh, and before we go on...
The lawyers have been over it.
I knew I was right to bring you along, Yandel, yes... You can take it from me that the final version will be writ-proof. Well, then we go on to your house and its present occupants, Penny Van der Veen, 23, who shares a room with West Indian writer Godfrey Alexander, 24.
Now, Gilbert.
Gilbert, thank you.
Roy's not going to take any notice.
In a way, it's not surprising my father goes for youth because that's what he's like himself, not grown up. He's like a kid of 10 or even less. All he ever thinks about is getting his own way. My sister thinks the same as I do. He's always let us do exactly as we like, and we like that until we sussed out it was all just less trouble for him. We don't get on much with our stepmother, but you can't really blame her. She's half out of her. No, that bit's cut. Penny really hates him tomcatting around. It doesn't worry me because I don't give a stuff what he does. Interviewer, could you elaborate on that? All his dolly birds, he can't keep his hands off them.
Oh, now, really? He never said any of that.
No, I assure you. It was a little difficult transcribing the tape, I admit. His articulation is a trifle eccentric, but it's all been checked. Birds, he can't keep his hands off them. He likes them young. The younger the better, around about 19 or 20, and he thinks they fancy him. But, of course, they just go for the title and him being famous because, let's face it, they wouldn't want to go to bed with an old man like him if he was a bank manager. Perhaps he pays them or something, but like I say, it doesn't bother me what he gets up to.
You're not going to print this.
Watch me.
Harold, look.
It's all part of it. He, my father, hangs around young people to make himself feel young and feel he's up with the trends. And all these politics, it's just showing off. How can you care about starving kids in India when you give parties with champagne and a couple of blokes in white coats going round pouring it? I don't see that makes you any better than the rich people in Spain and South Africa and these places. Well... That's the core of the thing. Not very coherent, but that gives it a certain...
How much are you paying him to put his name to this?
Oh, we haven't discussed a fee. Welcome the chance of getting it off his chest, was how he put it. You'll want to think it over, of course.
I don't need to.
Really? Waiter! I warn you, Van der Veen, I was never more serious in my life. I'll give you 48 hours to make up your mind.
Yes, sir.
Separate bills, please.
Yeah, okay, right, but I must have it by 4. And you. Cheers. Jeez, sorry. How'd it go, by the way?
What?
Your lunch with Harold.
Tell you when I'm feeling stronger.
But he didn't actually fire you.
No, I reckon my job's as secure as ever.
That bad, eh?
My column, as always, hangs by a thread.
Better see the quack, then. It might drop off. Yeah, are you covering this?
What? Oh, publicity handout.
Pigs out at the tram shed. World premiere performance of Elevations 9, composed and performed by Roy Van der Veen with the mind-blowing PO.
No. I don't really fancy it.
I'm going.
I didn't know you went in for such cerebral adventures, Albert. Standing at the frontiers of musical experiment.
I like that. No, it was Harold's idea. He wants me to do a social comment piece. But we could run 2 reviews in tandem. Mine, you see.
Putting the boot in,
and the artistic angle from you. That's my idea, not Harold. So it'll take the edge off anything I feel obliged to say. Good, eh? See, it's not really my scene, and it wouldn't half help if you'd fill in on the background stuff. Oh, come on, I'll copy a sport. Might be a giggle.
Oh, well, I'll think about it.
Great. I see he's using his Stradivarius.
Where'd you say that? God, you're right.
I mean, they're really old, aren't they? You'd think they'd break or something being played all the time, year in, year out. What's the matter, old son? You've gone all glassy-eyed.
And this is it, guys and gals. The real, live, genuine world premiere of Elevations 9. And to tell us all about it, yes, Sir Roy Bandavani.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi. It was not as a musician that I first met Jimmy Troll, illustrious founder of Pigs Out, and well-known flasher, who has since become a very good mate, incidentally. In fact, it was at a VOF meeting 18 months ago that the band and I just seemed to hit it off right from the start.
What's VOF? Victims of the Fuzz.
Oh, of course, yeah. Eh?
And when I heard the music they make, I thought to myself, now look here, there's something there. A fusion of one musical experience with another. A blurring of the edges. A marriage, if you like, of 2 cultures. And that's how Elevations 9 was born.
Where did you get to immutable?
Oh, I got buttonholed by someone I know.
Anyway, without more ado, Pigs Out and Elevations 9.
Yes, thank you, Sir Roy Van Dyke. And just look at that wonderful violin. It's a Stradivarius. And Sir Roy tells me it's over 500 years old.
That's amazing.
Give or take 300 years.
Eh? Still, even so.
Right then, guys and gals. The amazing Elevations 9!
What's up?
Bugger me!
Look, sir, I don't pretend to know too much at all about this classical stuff, like guys and guys, but something seems there. I think he's broken one of those 500-year-old strings.
My luck, eh? It's not a broken string. Someone's put grease on his bow.
What sort of grease?
Oh, anything. Margarine, butter, lard.
Some buggers put butter on my bow.
I've just been tipped the wing, folks, that some swat-ass has just put some sort of gunk on the maestro's bow. But Sir Roy ain't beaten yet. Remember this professional tip from our classical hotshot. Always pack a spare bow. We're all rooting for you, Roy. Elevations 9!
Don't box!
Would you believe it? The other bow's gone now. Has he got another one tucked in there?
Look, I'm sorry about this. I'm going to suggest pigs out give their latest hit while I sort this out.
You've got to hand it to him, Doug. I never thought he'd come back on the platform.
Oh, yes, he's a stubborn old cuss, all right.
Who was his mate, the one who brought another bow round?
First violin, Max Rogers. Only lives round the corner.
That's very decent of him.
Was it worth it?
Not impressed, then?
It was a virtuoso performance by a talented old fraud farting around disgracefully with music. Like a famous surgeon vandalising a phone box with his scalpel.
Oh, be fair. You didn't give him much of a chance walking out like that.
I'd heard quite enough, thanks.
I quite liked it, actually. At least it had a bit of a tune. Do you mind if I switch to the news?
Serious disturbance at a concert being held at the Our Shared Fun Palace. Sir Roy van der Veen, who was taking part in the concert, has been injured.
Jesus.
Apparently, Sir Roy was struck on the head and rushed to hospital. But Mr. Maxwell Rogers, a fellow musician who was present when the incident happened, said that he saw two youths and an older man deliberately stamp on the violin and then drape the remains around the unconscious Sir Roy's neck.
Oh, my God. Roy?
Come in, Duggars. Don't just stand there with your head round the door.
Right, thanks.
What do you think of the bandages? I feel like Ronald Coleman in Random Harvest.
You look like the Invisible Man. How do you feel?
Oh, fit as a fiddle. Although that's hardly the...
There are others.
Not enough others. But I'll find one, all right. But it won't be the same one. Do you know, I've had that bloody old thing for nearly 29 years.
I do know. You played your first concert on it.
Yep. Anyway, thanks for coming. To the do, I mean. Why didn't you pop in for a chat, though, during the interval before I came on?
I did, but you weren't in your dressing room.
Well, I couldn't have been far away. What did you use, by the way? Stork?
My God, Inspector! How did you... Butter, actually. Best New Zealand. I didn't mean it to happen as it did. I thought you'd find out as soon as you started tuning, or earlier. Look, I'm sorry.
No, not at all. It was highly dramatic. A bit of a surprise, though, on reflection, I mean. I hadn't realised you'd follow your principles quite that far into practice.
I felt I had to do something.
But it's laudable. Did you just sit there in the dressing room and smear away?
The gents.
One likes to have the full details. Well, it seems you were wasting your time.
So I saw and heard. Not for long. But long enough.
No, I mean the reviews.
Oh, the bandwagon. You do realise, don't you, Roy? If your kind of rubbish catches on, you'll have harmed music.
Oh, don't be so damn
stupid.
From
someone like you, because you know better. It's like taking up hit-and-run driving as a profession.
Listen, Douglas, be fair. I know they don't all have your impeccable music background, but, a few selected gems. Violinist-composer Roy van der Veen blazes new trail. And, in a similar vein...
I've read them all, thanks, Roy. I've read them all. One mob of the musical trendies terrified of being caught out being square, and the other lot just feel sorry for a nice old buffer who got his violin smashed by the yobbos. Oh, come on, Roy.
No, you come on. And I'm glad you mentioned yobbos. Now, how about this? I am reminded irresistibly of the hostile reception given to Beethoven's pioneering First Symphony.
Oh, Roy, please.
No. Actually, last night taught me quite a lot. The kids got too much of me and not enough of pigs out. I'll give them a lot more next time.
Next time?
Well, you don't suppose I'm going to let myself be choked off by one adverse reaction like that, do you?
Last night taught you quite a lot, didn't it?
Yes.
You didn't learn the most obvious lesson anybody could possibly have in his whole life.
Oh, you do bang on, don't you, old son?
I cannot understand. I will never understand how you can even consider going on with this youth thing of yours after what happened last night. They didn't want you there. They felt you were out of place. And by God, they showed it. You know what I expected after last night?
What?
After your piece had failed and after you'd been beaten up and had your strad smashed, which is like having your child maimed, isn't it, Roy?
Oh, what?
After that, I honestly expected you to swear to have nothing to do with any of it. No more pop, no more youth, no more new ways of this and that, and then, perhaps, to sneak back to it bit by bit after a month or two. But here you are, 12 hours later, full of horrible plans for more of the same. God, it's frightening. You're going downhill faster and faster, and I'm going, and there's a bottle of scotch.
By God, Duggars, that's a handsome gesture, I must say. Thanks a lot.
I should hide it if I were you. Well, goodbye, you bloody fool. And good luck. And although I can't pretend I like her, I'm sorry about Sylvia.
How do you mean? Oh, didn't I tell you? We've cracked it.
What?
The mere schmears. Me and Sylvia have cracked it. Sauce for the goose. Sylvia's going to write her potted autobiography for Peeping Tom, with particular reference to life with Papa, and hints of something unhealthy in the woodshed. Barris of Wimpole Street sort of thing. It's a wonderful imagination that girl's got.
Ah. Well, congratulations, then. Roy, it all seems a bit... I mean, why can't you just stay on with Kitty and see Sylvia on the side? Not actually get married.
Chuck over that glass, will you, old son? We'll have to share it if you've no objection. Ta. Sylvia on the side, eh?
Why not?
The good old double standard. Back to Victoria. Hypocrisy lives.
The Victorians weren't such fools as you might think, I don't think.
No. I've had enough of that. And so has Sylvia.
What do you mean, had enough? Enough of making other people's lives a misery while you watch? There is nobody left in the world for Kitty apart from the children. And they don't understand her.
Understand her too well, perhaps. One-note Nora, Christopher calls her.
That's not fair, Roy. Just because she always sounds as if she's standing on a window ledge ready to jump, and you feel she's going to jump, whether it's a burst pipe or her husband running off for the litre, that doesn't mean she doesn't feel genuine pain. And you ought to know that. And if Penny and Christopher don't know that, then it's your bloody fault for not telling them.
Yeah, thank you, and good night, Evelyn Holmes.
Penny and Chris both despise you for the way you go on in general, but that doesn't mean they don't love you, or couldn't be made to again. But if you go off with Sylvia, they'll never forgive you. I mean that, literally.
I wish you could have seen Mia's face. Sylvia tells it better than me. She'll be here soon, why don't you hang on?
My God.
What?
I've just seen it. It's something somebody said to me about you. I know what it is about Sylvia, what she's got for you.
Oh, the Lolita thing. Yes, I told you about that. Luscious love.
No, no, something else. You recognise in her, or if you don't recognise, you sense it. A fully-fledged moral vandal.
What?
Sylvia is the living spirit of moral vandalism. Beat up old ladies, because nobody beats up old ladies. Shoot at farmen fighting a fire, because nobody shoots at farmen fighting a fire. You're sucked into Sylvia because she actually does what you can only look at. She's the bomb-thrower for the liberal who's too decent and cowardly and fastidious and old and late capitalistic to countenance the existence of bombs. Her vandalism jerks you off.
You do go on, don't you? By the way, and nothing to do with all of this, but Sylvia doesn't want... Oh, Christ, this sounds... She doesn't want you to come visiting once we're married. Just for a bit. It won't be for long.
How do you mean?
It won't last 12 months. I know her, you see.
Oh, Roy.
I know.
You are throwing everything
yeah,
away.
I am. Aren't I? Well, am I forgiven?
Yes. Yes, of course. I'll see you.
Yeah. Duggars!
What?
I can always slip out to my club.
Oh, sorry.
It's
sorry.
You. What do you want?
Been in to see Roy.
Yes, but what do you want? You've just missed the lift.
It'll be up again in a minute. Sylvia.
No, whatever it is, no. Which reminds me, Roy and me are getting married, and when we are, we don't want you coming round persona non grata. Click.
clear enough? Got it?
Just what makes you such a howling bitch?
I expect it's the same thing as makes you a top-heavy 35 going on 80 ladylike four-eyes who's never had anything to come up to being tossed off by the captain of boats and impotent and likes bloody symphonies and fugues and the first variation comes after the statement of the theme and give me a decent glass of British beer and going down the bit bloody undignified old girl and dashed all I don't know what young people are coming to these days and an old woman and a failure and a hanger-on and a prig and terrified and a shower and a brisk rub down every morning and you can't throw yourself away in a little trollop like that, Roy, and you must think of your wife, Roy, old boy, oh boy, and I'll cover if I must, but don't say I approve, and bloody dead. Please delete the items in the above that do not apply, if any. Your lift, and goodbye.
You found it all right?
Surprising as it may seem, Mr. Yandel, we are capable of reading a street map.
When you say we, are you being royal or are you speaking ethnically?
Touché. We seem always to be fencing, you and I, Mr. Yandel. Time for a truce, wouldn't you say?
Well, us imperialist, racist, fascists don't go in for truces as a rule, but in your case, I'll make an exception, okay?
Agreed. I won't sit down. Oh, I'm not being ungracious. It's simply that I have to pick up Kitty from the hairdressers very shortly. When I rang you just now... How would you expect her to be? She's leaving. I am to take her to her sister's. The situation of the Van der Veen household has reached the brink of chaos.
Yes, I go along with that.
Roy's private life is, of course, his own affair, and the lines on which the family behaves are not my business.
But?
As you say, but. What I must consider are Penny's interests. It's essential that she leave that house as soon as humanly possible. The tensions there are destroying her.
You'll have a job getting her to go.
I fear I am no longer the one for Penny.
Oh?
I always knew that a moment would come when... But that is neither here nor there. Suffice it to say that I have moved out of the house. Kitty has gone, Roy has gone. She needs your help.
What the hell can I do? If you can't help her, I'm sure as hell...
You're white, Mr. Yandel. You and she have grown up in the same culture. Therefore, in some ways, you know her and understand her better than I can ever hope to. You've known her family. Please try. The poor girl's in quite a desperate state, and I'm desperate myself, too.
I don't think she'd even talk to me.
I think she would. She enjoyed what took place here.
Did she now? Had you given your permission for that?
She's a free agent. My only stipulation was to answer truthfully any questions I asked her. I take it you do find her attractive.
Yes, I do.
I have put to her that your feelings are not without depth. Would that be a fair assessment, Mr. Yandel?
Very fair, Mr. Alexander.
There is something else, too, about...
Yes?
But I think you must discover that for yourself.
Do you want anything? Coffee or something?
No, thanks. You're looking, different.
I feel different.
Yes. Ah, different.
Perhaps.
Calm? Self-sufficient?
Yes.
Well, that's good. But I don't think...
What?
I really don't think it's a good idea for you to stay on here.
It's convenient.
Oh, come on.
And then there's the piano. I thought I'd look up old Ludwig again, perhaps, just for old time's sake.
Really?
The sonatas.
But that's...
Bloody difficult, yes.
Good, I was going to say. It is good.
Yeah, okay. It's good.
What's happened, Penny?
Happened about what?
Even the way you talk. The way you stand... Everything about you. Have you fallen in love or what?
Oh, no, nothing like that. That wouldn't be me at all.
What is it then? You seem so self-contained. Happy.
Yes, both of those. It's very simple. I've gone on the hard stuff.
Booze, you mean?
No, Douglas.
Heroin?
Don't sound so terrified. Yes, well, you know, that kind of thing. It's not a bit what you think it's like. Surely you can see that just by talking to me.
The life expectancy of a heroin addict is about 2 years.
That's one of the things that's so nice about it. Nothing's going to last. None of that awful business of getting married and having children and being responsible. Nobody expecting anything of you.
Beethoven lasts, doesn't he?
He won't last me. I'll never be good enough. You've got to find out what your limitations are. And I've found out mine. And I can arrange my life to fit in with them exactly. Not many people can do that.
Come on. We're going to my flat.
No.
I want to take you on. Look after you.
Oh, yes. You're supposed to be the number one family friend who puts himself out to help.
Are you offloading all this onto me?
Not really. But look what happened to Roy. He's in the shit. You didn't manage to prevent that, did you?
I did try to, but... Well, yes, it was a bit feeble.
Kitty brought you into bat for her side, and where is she now?
Yes, I know.
I'd like you to go now, please.
Come with me.
Sorry. Anyway, do you think you could do what Gilbert couldn't do? And he really tried. There. I've let you off the hook. Be grateful.
Does Roy know about this?
The mainlining? Well, I don't think so. Why should he? He's got his own life to lead.
He won't last. Him and Sylvia? I know he's a monster, but he does love you.
Him and Sylvia, or him and someone else? What's the difference?
Please, Penny. Please, come with me.
No. You know, Douglas, going off with that girl is going to be the best thing he'll ever have done. For everybody, not just him. We're all free now.
In All Free Now by Tony Bilbo, based on the novel Girl 20 by Kingsley Amis, Robert Stevens played Sir Roy, Christopher Timothy, Douglas, Eva Stewart, Kitty, Geoffrey Whitehead, Mears, Kim Thompson, Penny, Anna Mazzotti, Sylvia, Oaken Jones, Gilbert, Michael Graham Cox, Coates, Joan Walker, Vivian, Richard Pierce, Chris, and Adrian Egan, radio and television reporters, with Michael Dean as himself. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.